Bienvenue and welcome to Akeem's Dream Show. My name is Akeem the Dream, also known as Brown Sugar Supreme, also known as The Dark Knight Batman. I'm Batman. This show is a variety show because I had a lot of ideas growing up and wrote them down, and my curiosity is insatiable. And you'll notice that I have a lot of random ideas and subjects, but I think that's what makes it fun. Variety is the spice of life, and I like to keep it spicy, and you will find that out very quickly. Remember, folks, never grow old with no stories to tell. And it's finally time to spice things up. Let's go.
Check this out.
Vegeta, what did you say his power level is? It's over 9,000. 9,000? There's no way that could be right.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of Akeem's Dream Show. And today we're going to be talking about soy. Yes, soybeans. Is it good or bad? I don't know. We're going to hold out our opinions until the end of the show. I'll just give you the information and you can go from there. I'll let you come to your own conclusions, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not here to tell you what to think. I'm here to teach you essentially just how to think, right? You guys are all smart enough to figure out the rest. Let's just keep to the facts here. Talk a little bit about my life before we jump into soybeans, because all things being considered, beyond it destroying your health if you're a man, it's kind of a boring subject unless we spice it up, which I will. But this subject came to me one day because I was out with some friends watching an Oilers game, and we ordered a round of tacos. Just innocent tacos. Didn't think anything of them, right? Some chicken, some steak, some fish tacos, as you would at a nice restaurant, nice establishment. And I go to consume them like a ravened hyena on the savannah. Just eating tacos, going about my business, getting some protein. Protein. Get that muscle milk in you, boy. Get that muscle. Get that protein in you. So I'm just scarfing down this taco. And one at a time, just making them a memory, right? And my partner next to me goes, Akeem, did you enjoy those tacos? I go, yeah. She goes, did you know that last one, the chicken one? Did you know that was a soy chicken? And it's just an awkward silence for maybe 5 seconds. I go, come again? She goes, yeah, there was soy in the chicken there. Could you taste the deliciousness of it? And I said, it's okay. I might not be able to get it up later, but here's the thing. Soy is not good for a young man. I could already feel its effects coursing through my bloodstream, wreaking havoc on my free radicals. This is going to be an issue. And her and the other lady at the table were kind of making fun of me all night about this whole soy thing. But the other gentleman knew that this is no laughing matter. It is so bad, in fact, that the police are coming towards me right now as I discuss this, because they can sense the danger in the air. See, folks, when you even talk about soy, the ambulance knows it's too late. They need to start coming now. They can't wait a single second. Because they know if you're going to talk about it, you're about to consume it. And for men, you might as well just shoot yourself in the head at that point. But here, let's get into the data. Oh yeah, I had a good time last week, and I was in Ottawa for my 32 birthday. Bonne fête pour moi. It was a good day. I had a solid time playing golf, just getting completely blasted. I probably smoked two joints that would have been too big for the Cheech and Chong movies, but I was able to take them down like a champ. No problem. No, absolutely no problem. Ate those things for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Proceeded on with the rest of the weekend. On the way there, if they ever ask you, do you want to book your or pick your ticket on a flight, always say yes. Because if you don't and just let them choose it for you at the gate, they're going to put you towards the back where all the commoners sit and all the people who don't know what the deodorant is at the back of the plane. And they're going to put you in the middle seat. So you have the opportunity to smell whatever they decided to, walk across or generate that day with their body pores, because the smells are horrific, right? They're dystopian sewer sludge coming out of the vents into your nose. And because you're on this capsule in the sky, there's no escape. It's almost like a cruel joke. But I was stuck at the back at 6 o'clock in the morning between two dudes who probably put potty perspirant on the night before, but a weak one. You know, we're not talking like speed gel or Old Spice. We're talking like Walmart or PC Optimum Points, like fucking discount deodorant shit. Stuff that you would not think twice to give your daughter or son. Anyways, they weren't smelling the greatest, 6 o'clock in the morning. So I was like, okay, I can handle that. Anybody can handle some BO for 4 hours. That's not a big deal. The other issue with this was, besides being put between these two Neanderthals, was on the other side of the aisle was this lady. She was sitting between a rock and a hard place. She had a huge hairy dude from like the 12th century right next to him. Just looked like he came out of a Viking horde. And then right next to it was this old African man. He looked like Didi Amin, because he looked like an African like warlord. Like he had a suit on with his, I think he had his face, a picture of his face on the inside of the suit. Anyways, he had an old chess hat on, and he was snoring away, and we take off, and I hear babies crying all throughout the plane, and I'm like, this is going to be a long one. All of a sudden, I just hear, and like that. I look to my left, and I see just sheer terror, like sheer horror on this lady's face, who's between the guy from the 12th century and Idi Amin in the middle, as this guy... Ever seen a person puke in their sleep? It's kind of horrifying. It's like, I think this guy was probably pushing 60, 70, because that's the only excuse. It's like, when you're a baby, yeah, you do baby things. Babies puke on themselves, and they're like, oh, I'm a baby. But when you become an adult or a senior citizen, it's almost like life comes full circle. You start doing things that babies do, like crapping your pants or puking on yourself when you sleep. This lady was horrified. I've never seen eyes get that as big as saucers. It looked like an alien invasion on her face. Like these just two eyes where they're like in complete and utter shock. Like, of all the people in the world, why me? Why did I have to be between these two guys on this 6 a.m. flight and then have a guy next to me puke on himself, have to call the stewardess for him so she can wipe him off with some like wet wipes or whatever? That was just wild, wild times. So 4 hours of babies crying, people puking on themselves, and just overall bad BO. Probably the worst flight I've ever taken in my entire life. But that was the worst it got for the weekend for me, because everything else, chef's kiss, right? The coup de grace. It was just fantastic. Carpe diem, we seize every single day. Had a great time. So now that I'm back and touchdown in Edmonton, this show was actually supposed to come out yesterday, so apologies for people waiting. But you will be rewarded on this show, because we're going to go do a deep dive on the world of soybeans, soy, and what is going on with soy, right? It's a very versatile food, first of all. You might be asking yourself the same thing I am, which is why I did this podcast, which is why is soy in everything? Soy seems to be in everything, and why is that? Nobody really knows for sure. But there is some clues based on how soy is kind of constructed. It's a kind of a sticky, sticky food type. It kind of globulates things together, holds things together. It's the straw that stirs the drink. It's the jelly that fills the donut when it comes to food. So things like chocolates, things like glue, plastics, cosmetics, soaps, things that by the sum of their parts are kind of loose, are held together by soy and soy lectin in a lot of times. Isolated soy proteins are used to emulsify and bind fat and water. So emulsify, I'm not going to pretend to know what that means, but it just sounds like bring together. But it's often used in chocolate, margarine, cheese. When you make margarine, which is like oils from vegetable oils and stuff like that, it's kind of a loose fat protein. And when you're making cheese, cheese is kind of loose. You ever seen like cheese being made? It's kind of loose and all over the place. So soy is a good kind of binding agent for those food products, which is why it's become so popular. You'd be surprised to know that over almost 80% of the soy use in the planet or on planet Earth is for livestock. We use it to feed our cows and our chickens and all that kind of stuff. It's either used for that livestock or it's used for the heavy industrial and chemical industry. So yeah, while you're chomping on your next edamame bean, just know that it's either going into your body or into a chemical reactor. Same difference. Same, but different, right? This is just something we need to know. If it's good enough for a chemical reactor bath of a chemical liquid and toxin that could just knock you the fuck out, why not throw it into your body, eh? Just as an experiment. Because we haven't really been using this product in our daily diets at mass until you hit like the 1970s or 1980s. So in the context of our human biological memory, it's not even a drop in the bucket. It's not even a sand in the Sahara. This is insignificant in terms of the cosmos of Homo sapiens, which is about 450,000 years. We've been using soy in a lot of our food products for, call it 50 years. 50 out of the 450,000 sounds safe to integrate at mass. No wonder men's testosterone seems to be decreasing. But hey, those are just correlated. They're not causal. The reason why soy is a little bit suspect, it hasn't been found guilty yet in a court of law, but the jury is looking at the evidence and it is very damning, because what soy does in the body is it creates a concentration of isoflavones, a type of plant estrogen. And estrogen, you might recognize as a female hormone primarily. It is also a man, but in smaller amounts. That is similar in function to the human estrogen, but with weaker effects. So soy isoflavones, I think I'm saying that right, can bind to estrogen receptors in the body and cause either weak estrogenic or anti-estrogenic activity. So it just activates the estrogen hormone in your body. And for men, that can manifest in very bad ways, right? Men with higher estrogen levels tend to have man boobs, tend to have less hair, tend to have less muscular structural, tend to have less narrower shoulders, not as low voices, right? It can have it can have feminine effects on a male's scientific baseline, let's call it. Not all the time. The male primary hormone is testosterone. But it's not all negative for soy. There has been research linking it to some cancer preventative effects in premenopausal women, such as increased menstrual cycle length and sex hormone binding globulin levels and decreased estrogen levels. When I was looking up the information for this podcast, folks, I just Googled, right? That's what everyone does these days. You have primary, secondary, and tertiary research. I didn't talk to any scientists about soy levels, but the sources I used were Harvard, Fitbit, Men's Health, and the Mayo Clinic, and MedEd. And they all didn't have a conclusive summary or a conclusive result as to what soy does specifically for men, which to me is quite alarming, because if it's been in the diets of men for the last 50 years and there's no conclusive results as to whether it's good or bad, to me that makes me a little bit suspicious, because it means, what are they hiding? It's like the JFK assassination. They still haven't released the documents that the CIA had regarding his assassination. And this is almost 55, 60 years ago. If there was nothing to hide, why not release all the info? And if there was nothing to hide with soy, why not just say conclusively that is not harmful for men at all? There is absolutely zero risk. And because they can't conclusively say it, I'm led to believe that there is some minor risks for men. Now, am I overreacting when I eat a chicken taco that's supposed to be chicken, but it's actually soy? Potentially, and I probably am. But my radars are up, because there is a lot of stats out there showing that men's testosterone, as per the 2007 study of Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism, revealed that a substantial drop in U.S. men's testosterone levels have been recorded since the 1980s, with an average annual decline of about 1% per year. This means that a 60-year-old man in 2004 had a testosterone level 17% lower than those of a 60-year-old man in 1987. The same 60-year-old dude has a 17% drop from 1987 to 2004. What is that, 15 years? That's pretty significant. Another Danish study for men found similar findings, double-digit declines from the 1960s. Of course, on podcasts, this is what every podcaster does, right? They loop it back by saying, well, look, we've been declining in testosterone levels since the 1960s, and soy has been big in the diet since the 1960s. Ergo, and this is quite a big ergo, soy reduces men's testosterone. And I think that is a bit of a reach. I think that it's safer to say that it has a minor effect on men's testosterone, but there's other societal factors. I've even heard some other stuff like men being more in office jobs, being more tertiary lifestyles, not getting out and exercising as much. Men are not having as much sex as they used to, for example. There are even studies that saying women who take contraceptives, like, or who are on the pill, when they pee that out, it goes into the water supply and brings down the average. Yeah, I know this is crazy town. So maybe that one is a bit of a stretch, but I've heard a few guys say that to me in locker rooms, and maybe they're just shooting their shit, but that one's a little bit crazy. When I go to the grocery store, the first thing I do is I look at the back. Nutrition facts, I read all the nutrition facts. Sodium, fats, sugars, and at the very bottom, I see what is in it, the ingredient list. And my rule of thumb that my kind of folks taught me is like, Akeem, if you can't pronounce more than five of the ingredients, it's probably not good for you. Because you look at the back at some of these things, like I'll see if I can find something. So I have a Jell-O packet in front of me, right? Jell-O's great. Strawberry fraiche, simulated flavor, Jell-O. I think somebody left this at my apartment one time. So the ingredients on the back of a Jell-O packet, sugar, gelatin, adipic acid, sodium phosphate, sodium citrate, artificial flavor, fumaric acid, and color. So based on my parents' shit test for a lot of foods, this one would pass. It's got less than five things I can't pronounce. Let's look at this other one here. So I'm looking at a box of Harvest Crunch, light and crisp, honey flavor, honey nut flavor. Oh, it's a good thing at 9 o'clock instead of a bowl of ice cream, young man. Get yourself some Harvest Crunch with a light and crisp honey nut flavor. You will be satisfied with the sweetness and the crunchiness of our array of almonds and crackers and granola array. But here's the ingredients on the back of Harvest Crunch light and crisp. Whole grain rolled oats, sugars, sugar, honey blend sugar, rolled whole wheat, whole grain rice flour, modified milk ingredients, coconut oil, vegetable oil, almonds, dried coconut, malted barley flour, salt, and mixed tocopherols. So there's one thing on that whole list I don't know what it is, which means it passed with flying colors. Now, I was hoping to find something that had a bunch of Klingon in it so that I could make my point here about foods that just are so bad for you that it's like unbelievable. Oh, of course I find something I actually like and it's gonna have everything bad for me. This is the other thing too. When you start doing this exercise, looking through nutrition facts, you're gonna be really saddened because there's a lot of things you actually like and taste good to you. If you go by this rule of thumb that I've kind of laid out, you can't eat it anymore, which is a sad day. But the ingredients, and I have a bowl here of Thai red curry, Thailandai with noodles, with rice noodle, Thai red curry. So on the Thai red curry, we have the ingredients of rice noodles, wheat flour, dehydrated vegetables, onion, red, green peppers, green beans, garlic. Sounds all good so far. Potato starch, tapioca starch, yeast extract, coconut milk, powder, sugar, corn syrup solids, carrot juice concentrate, maltodextrin. What the fuck is that? Corn oil, red beet, juice concentrate, herbs and spices, turmeric, sodium caseinate, and it puts milk in brackets. How do you get milk from sodium caseinate? That sounds like something poisonous. Natural flavor, citric acid, sodium phosphate, and here's the fucking ringer here. Contains wheat, milk, and may contain egg, mustard, and you guessed it, soy. So my Thai red curry might have some soy in it. And if it says may contain, what does that even mean, may contain? That kind of pisses me off. Just say it's in there. May contain. Can't you just tell me up front? What if I'm allergic to it? So if you're allergic to something, does that mean you can't eat anything that says may contain it? If you're listening to this, just answer it out loud. I'll hear you. May contain. I'm asking the old googs what may contain means. Some manufacturers voluntarily include a separate advisory statement such as may contain or produce in a facility on other labels when there is a chance that a food allergen could be present. A manufacturer might use the same equipment. So this is just covering their ass. You know what's happening here, right? If you get sick because there's something in there you didn't think there was because they didn't explicitly list it in the ingredients, when you do get sick from it, they can say, oh, you didn't read the end of it.
we said there may be something in it that you're allergic to. So now that's legalese, eh? That's how you know lawyers got involved. So if a lawyer has to get involved for you not to eat it, don't eat it. That's a good rule of thumb, folks, I think. If a company needs legal protection to cover their ass based on something that may not be in there, don't fucking consume it in your body. Jeez. May contain. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Anyways, so that's my rule of thumb. If I can't understand 5 of the ingredients on the label, it's a no-go. It's not going in my body. My body's a temple, okay? From the high heavens, Greek of Zeus himself fucking ordained me in the bush, the burning bush. I'm not going to let anything in here go in my body that's a toxin. So that is my rule of thumb. I used to have this policy where I went to the grocery store because I used to be a pretty fat guy. I used to eat everything inside the aisles. And I got healthy when I started walking and I started eating around the perimeter of the grocery store because that's where everything is kind of organic and whole. Like if you walk the perimeter, you're going to walk through the produce. On a red pepper, it's not going to say this red pepper may contain peanuts. It's a red pepper. It's pretty cut and dry, right? As soon as it's a package and there's a label on it with ingredients, that's when you got to start thinking about, do I want to live to 70, 80, or 90 or not? Because it's not the one meal that will kill you. It's these products are designed to make you addictive. I'm designed to make you addicted. Like, I'm looking back to red curry again. We're going to look at one of the ingredients here I couldn't pronounce. Malodextrin. I guarantee you that's like something like MSG, where there's like something in here where it's like super sweet or super salty and it's super flavorful, so that now you get the idea that, I gotta have it. I gotta have that every single day. And then you keep eating it and eating it and eating it, and then 30 years later, boom, you got diabetes and you're fucked. So, soy boys, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do when the soy comes for you? And like I said, I'm not totally, like if I see a chocolate bar I want to eat and it's got like soy lectin in it, I'm not super worried about it, but you're probably never going to see me just fucking hand bombing some edamame or like tofu. You know, that's almost me giving up as a man as far as I'm concerned. I'm not going to do it. I refuse. I need my free tea to be sky high because I want to please myself and I want to please my partner. I want to make sure everyone's happy, which means that my soldier needs to be fucking erect at dawn, at sunrise. Do you know what I'm saying, folks? When the rooster is roosting in the morning, you know your soldier better be at mast saluting you at high noon, right? So that's gonna be harder to do if you don't have good blood flow. And good blood flow comes from good circulatory, and good circulatory comes from good testosterone levels. So you got to stay hard, stay erect, stay caffeinated, and stay ready to go. 10-4 over and out. 10-4, keep your watcher 6. Alpha Bravo Charlie, Dotto, and we'll see you next time on Akeem's Dream Show. Peace.